So if you have ever wanted to break into a brand new industry or, launch a product in a field you find fascinating, but you stopped yourself because you felt like you lacked the required expertise,
Yeah.
you are going to want to hear this deep
I
dive.
know, absolutely. It's such a common roadblock.
Right. Our mission today is to explore this really wild experiment. Imagine a seasoned restaurant manager,
Yeah.
someone who has spent their entire career running the front of house for massive global restaurant chains.
Like, they know exactly how to manage the seating chart.
Exactly. They know how to ring up the cash register, how to keep the line moving, and just generally how to make sure the building doesn't burn down.
Yeah, the operational stuff.
Right. But then they decide they want to open their own place. And not
Yeah.
just any place, but a hyper-authentic, incredibly specialized restaurant serving an ancient foreign cuisine.
Which is a huge pivot.
Huge.
Yeah.
And the catch is, they don't know the first thing about cooking, let alone this specific cuisine. They don't know the ingredients. They don't know the techniques.
So what do they do?
Well, instead of learning, they rely entirely on an AI chef, an AI that already knows every ancient recipe, every flavor profile, every technique.
Wow.
Yeah, and the human is just going to handle the infrastructure, like the seating and the register, while the AI does literally all the heavy lifting in the kitchen.
I mean, it is a wild premise for a business, but it perfectly captures the reality of the developer diary we are exploring today.
It really does.
We are looking at a document titled Panpinmao Diary-01-Genesis.MD, dated January 24th, 2026.
The very first day.
Exactly. Day one of building Panpinmao, which is a Chinese metaphysics AI platform. The diary covers everything from the creator's philosophical motivations to the exact 21 code commits and the highly specific tech stack they use to get this project off the ground in a single day.
Which is just a crazy amount of work for one day. But before we dig into the code or the AI or even the fortune-telling aspect, I feel like we really have to understand the human motivation driving this.
For sure, because this isn't just someone messing around on a weekend trying to learn how to code.
No, not at all. The author of this diary is a highly experienced CTO-level engineer. We are talking about someone who has spent their career at major tech giants, Airbnb, Apple, and AWS.
Right, and those are environments where you become an absolute expert at shipping infrastructure. You learn how to scale systems and make massive architectural decisions that literally affect millions of users.
Yeah, you're operating at a huge scale.
But as the author points out in the diary, when you are an engineer at that level in big tech, you get incredibly skilled at building things that other people have spec'd out for you.
You build the roads, but you aren't deciding where the roads go.
Exactly. You miss out on what the author calls the messy parts of product development.
Which is funny, right? Because you would think the engineering at AWS scale is the messy part.
You think so?
But they mean the business messiness, the go-to-market strategy, the pricing page copy,
Yeah.
the endless user feedback loops.
Yeah, the human element of it all.
In the diary, they specifically mention the frustration of missing out on conversations like, why is our conversion rate 2% and not 4%?
Because at a big tech company, there is a whole separate team handling that.
Right. The engineer just gets the ticket to change the color of the button. But they never get to run the psychological experiment of why the color needs to change in the first place.
So this engineer has just been waiting to experience that full product life cycle for years. They want the raw user feedback loops, the product design, the business decisions.
And they want to do it completely solo.
Right. No product managers writing product requirement documents, no designers handing over polished Figma files, no growth teams, just them from start to finish.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second because this is the part that genuinely stopped me in my tracks when I was reading the source.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
I mean, if you just want to learn the business side of a product life cycle, if you just want to play around with pricing pages and conversion rates,
Yeah.
why not build something familiar?
Like a developer tool?
Exactly. A developer tool or a productivity app or, I don't know, a simple to-do list. Why make it exponentially harder by intentionally choosing a domain where you are totally, utterly clueless?
Well, that's the thing. The creator's ultimate constraint was that they specifically wanted a domain they knew absolutely nothing about.
Just to make it hard on themselves.
Kind of. They weren't just testing their ability to write a pricing page. They were testing a massive theory about modern software development itself.
Right, the AI aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they chose Chinese metaphysics. We are talking about Bazi, astrology, tarot, dream interpretation, and Lorin.
And for those who might not be familiar, Bazi is a highly complex traditional Chinese astrological concept.
It's extremely intricate.
Yeah, it translates to the four pillars of destiny, and it maps out a person's life based on the specific year, month, day, and hour of their birth, using combinations of elements and animal signs.
And Lurin is another ancient form of divination involving really complex astronomical and mathematical calculations.
Right. And just to be clear, the author proudly admits in the diary that they know zero about any of this.
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing. They explicitly state they don't know what a day pillar is, and they have absolutely no idea why a person's birth hour matters in these calculations.
And that profound ignorance is actually the foundation of the core scientific question of this entire project.
The hypothesis.
Right. The hypothesis is, can AI completely bridge a domain knowledge gap? We aren't just asking if AI can help an existing expert work 10% faster.
No, we are asking if someone with absolute zero expertise can build a credible, highly specific, useful product in a specialized field.
By using AI as their entire knowledge base.
And here is where it gets really interesting, I think. Because the way we usually talk about AI, we use metaphors like it's a bicycle for the mind.
Right. It helps us pedal faster on a road we already know.
Exactly. If I'm a writer, AI helps me draft. If I'm a coder, it helps me debug. But this developer is asking if AI can just be the entire vehicle, the map, and the driver for the domain logic.
While the human just paves the road.
Exactly.
What's fascinating here is how this flips the traditional tech startup model entirely on its head.
Oh, totally.
Historically, if you want to build a specialized startup, say software for dental practices or a legal tech platform, you need a domain expert founder paired with a technical founder.
One person knows the industry secrets, the other knows how to code.
Right. But in this scenario, the AI is effectively functioning as the domain expert co-founder.
We should also note there's a very pragmatic business reason they chose this specific domain, too.
The market size.
Yeah. The diary mentions that the Chinese-speaking market for fate analysis is enormous. It's a massive, culturally significant domain, but it is currently digitally underserved.
The author points out that most existing apps in this space are either just ad farms loaded with pop-ups or what they call single paragraph generators.
Right, where you put in your birth date and get a generic three-sentence horoscope that offers no real depth.
So it's high demand, low quality competition. It's actually a perfect business target.
It really is.
Yeah.
But knowing you want to build a Chinese metaphysics empire and actually writing the code are two entirely different universes.
Oh, completely. Because they are relying entirely on an AI for the domain knowledge, they can't just open a blank document and start coding.
Right. They have to set the stage.
They have to build an architecture capable of supporting an AI brain, which brings us to the technical setup for day one. And I have to say, it was a masterclass in architectural planning.
Yeah, the developer pushed 21 commits just to establish what they call a monorepo setup using TurboRepo.
And a monorepo is essentially a way of keeping all the code for multiple different but related projects inside one giant organized folder system rather than having it scattered across different repositories.
So inside this monorepo, they moved 5 existing Nexo.js apps into an apps folder.
Right.
And I noticed they extracted all the shared code into a packages folder and separated the API and the auth. I assume that's because handling logins across 5 different apps is usually a nightmare.
Oh, it's an absolute nightmare if you don't centralize it. The auth package manages the Supabase authentication context.
And what does that mean in practical terms?
In practical terms, authentication context means the system remembers who you are as you move around. If a user logs into the Tarot app and then clicks over to the Dream Interpretation app, the auth context ensures they don't have to log in again. The cookie or session token is passed seamlessly between the apps because they all pull from that same centralized auth package.
That makes total sense. And they did the same thing with the credits package, right?
Yes, exactly.
The diary mentions this handles credit deduction and balance checking. If you don't extract the credit balance into a shared package, a user might spend a credit generating a Bazi chart, switch over to the Dream Interpretation app, and the system wouldn't know their balance dropped.
Exactly. The monorepo forces a single source of truth for the user's wallet.
Okay, so you also have the API package, which seems crucial here.
It is. This handles the AI model abstraction and SSE streaming helpers. SSE stands for server sent events. When you ask a large language model a complex question, it doesn't just instantly spit out a massive 5-paragraph answer. It generates the text token by token.
Oh, right, like how it types it out on the screen.
Exactly. SSE streaming is the mechanism that allows that text to type out on the user's screen word by word. Without that helper package, the user would just be staring at a frozen loading spinner for 30 seconds while the AI calculates their fortune.
Nobody wants that. To round out that package structure, they have the database package handling the Supabase client and SQL migrations, the UI package containing shared visual components so all five apps look cohesive, and the config package, which unifies the Tailwind CSS styling, ESLint, and TypeScript configurations.
Yeah, it's a very robust setup.
But I have to jump in here with some pushback.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because in the diary, the developer explicitly notes that just fixing the import pass and dealing with Tailwind configuration clashes took 80% of their time on day one.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
To me, that sounds like spending 8 hours organizing your kitchen perfectly, putting all the spices in alphabetical order, calibrating the exact temperature of your oven, and sharpening every knife before you even attempt to cook a massive 5-course meal.
It can definitely feel that way.
For a solo side project, is that upfront pain and suffering really worth it?
Well, it's a trap a lot of junior developers fall into, assuming that kind of setup is a waste of time. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, look at their ultimate victory at midnight on day one.
Yeah.
Because they spent 8 hours organizing that metaphorical spice rack, they achieved something massive. By midnight, they had one login, one shared database client, and one credit balance that worked across all five products perfectly.
Wow.
All five apps loaded, the shared authentication worked flawlessly. If they had just rushed into building the fortune-telling features without this monorepo structure, creating a shared credit system across five separate apps later would have been a tangled, bug-ridden disaster.
So you had to build the factory before you could manufacture the car.
Precisely.
Okay, so the human is building the perfect, pristine factory. But how does the day-to-day workflow of writing the actual app happen, considering the human has zero knowledge of the domain they are manufacturing?
This is where the diary details their use of Claude Code.
And the author makes a really sharp distinction here, right?
Mm.
Claude Code isn't just a chatbot where you copy and paste answers.
No, it's an actual coding agent.
Right.
An agent has agency. It reads the code base itself. It understands that massive, complex package structure we just talked about.
Which is crazy.
It is. It can make changes across multiple files simultaneously, run the tests to see if the changes worked, and iterate on its own errors without the developer having to prompt it for every single line.
So it's not just a sous chef taking orders. Claude Code is more like a health inspector, head chef, and line cook combined.
That's a great way to put it.
It walks around your code base, notices the TypeScript configuration is wrong in the UI package, fixes it, tests the recipe in the API package, and then plates the food, all without you asking.
Yeah, but more importantly, it's also writing the recipe itself from scratch.
Right, the domain logic.
The diary gives us a perfect example of this. The developer asks the AI, how does Bayesian day pillar calculation work?
And remember, the developer has no idea what that sentence even means.
Exactly. And the AI didn't just spit back a Wikipedia summary. It provided a detailed explanation and then instantly generated the working TypeScript code to execute it.
Just like that.
It wrote the code for the heavenly stem and earthly branch cycle tables. It built the five elements interaction matrix. It even handled the notoriously difficult edge cases.
Like what?
Like how daylight saving time transitions affect astrological birth hour calculations.
Like really, daylight saving time matters for this.
Yes. In Bayesian, if a person is born right on the cusp of an hour change and daylight saving time shifts the clock, it can change their entire astrological chart.
That is wild.
The AI understood that domain-specific nuance and coded the mathematical offset for it perfectly.
That is absolutely mind-blowing. And the tech stack they're using to orchestrate this AI integration is just as robust.
Oh yeah, they are messing around.
They're using both Claude and Gemini in a multi-model setup, orchestrated using Posthog feature flags.
And for those unfamiliar, a feature flag is basically a digital switchboard.
Right.
It allows the developer to instantly swap between models per API endpoint. If Claude's API suddenly goes down, or if it gets too expensive to run the complex Bayesian calculations, the developer can just flip a switch in Posthog.
Suddenly, Gemini is processing the logic, and they didn't have to rewrite or redeploy a single line of code.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything remains strictly typed in TypeScript across all their 16 packages, styled with per-app design token themes in Tailwind, and deployed seamlessly on Vercel.
Reading that example about the Bayesian day pillar calculation gave me pause, though.
Why is that?
Well, how does the developer actually verify that the AI isn't hallucinating? If you know absolutely nothing about the heavenly stems or the earthly branches, and the AI hands you a massive matrix of TypeScript logic, how do you know it's not just making up garbage?
Yeah, that is the inherent risk of blind trust in an AI domain expert. But according to the constraints of the diary, the developer handles this by having the AI write the tests for its own logic, establishing internal consistency.
Oh, interesting.
The AI provides the traditional reference tables, writes the mathematical logic to generate those tables, and then writes the unit tests to ensure the code output matches the traditional tables.
So they're trusting that the AI's vast training data has internalized the centuries-old rules of Bayesian correctly.
Precisely. The human verifies the architecture runs without crashing. The AI verifies the cultural math.
The author literally writes in the diary that it's a weird feeling to build a product where the AI knows more about the domain than the creator does.
I can imagine.
I mean, if the human is just setting up the database, the routing, and the feature flags, and the AI is providing 100% of the actual subject matter expertise and write of the complex logic for it, who is actually the creator of this app?
This raises an important question, doesn't it? What we are seeing in this diary is a total fracturing of how we define creation.
Yeah, it really is.
The human brings the framework, the TypeScript, the Tailwind, the Supabase architecture, and, crucially, the business intent. The human decided to target the digitally underserved Chinese metaphysics market.
They turned on the lights and unlocked the front door.
Exactly. But the AI brings centuries of esoteric human knowledge synthesized and translated into perfect algorithmic logic.
It's a completely new paradigm.
The creator is no longer the person who knows the most about the subject. The creator is the person who knows how to best orchestrate the intelligence.
Wow. Okay, to summarize this incredible snapshot of day one, we have a big tech engineer who shipped 21 commits, built a massive enterprise-grade monorepo, established a unified backend and credit system across 5 apps, and laid the entire foundation for a complex Chinese metaphysics platform.
All without knowing a single thing about fortune telling.
So what does this all mean for you? Whether you are a seasoned coder who is tired of just shipping infrastructure, or you are someone who has always had a curious mind but felt locked out of certain industries, the barrier to entry has fundamentally shifted.
It really has.
The diary proves that you no longer need to spend a decade becoming a subject matter expert to build something incredibly valuable in that subject. The expertise is now a commodity you can call through an API.
You just have to be willing to build the architecture around it.
Exactly.
But, you know, this leaves us with a fascinating paradox to ponder.
Oh, what's that?
If we accept the premise of this diary that AI can instantly master complex ancient knowledge like Bazi and flawlessly code its intricacies into a product, what happens when two different developers try to build the exact same app using the exact same AI?
Oh, wow. That's a great point.
If the chef in the kitchen knows the exact same recipes as the chef across the street, and the baseline domain knowledge is perfect, instant, and identical for everyone, how will human creators differentiate their products in the future?
That's the million-dollar question.
Will the only competitive advantage left simply be those messy parts of human psychology that the developer wanted to explore in the first place?
Right, the things they left big tech to figure out.
Exactly. If the AI is cooking the perfect meal every time, maybe the difference between a massive success and a total failure will just come down to the empathy of your design, the clarity of your pricing, and how warmly the human manager greets the user at the door.